And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke full tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about to order law. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke people of the way, before the multitude, he departed from them. And I received the disciples. Reasoning daily and full of terror. And this commandment was feared, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God was on the number of rules by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exercise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there was a certain person of Gera, a Jewish priest, who came here. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you?" Then the man who knew the evil spirit was left on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greek dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was manifest. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their names. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and brought them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily, and prevailed. This is the word of the Lord.
Our speaker today is our brother Rav Awoshayi, and our sermon topic is the Holy Spirit at work.
And I am the first to stand up. I wish you a wonderful adoration, which next week we have moments in all of us. You are the one who is in front. You are the one who has spoken and has done and has given and has just seen and so on. The wonderful thing is more special for our understanding because our God has dealt with him, who is the one who is in the world. I have done it. The Lord will know what was done then and the man, and the man of the master. The Father will recall that. Who sends Jesus Christ to the divine practice? We have been doing it from the days when Peter was held on the 26 days waiting to be executed. The Lord is pleased to set him free and to confound the poor God. Lord, we believe that we have reached that stage today. Lord, we have given your Lord for the grace and your mercy to set his hand on us. Lord, show forth your grace, show forth your power.
Let's remember, there were only 120 people in that upper room.
And they are meant to be. When women are beautiful, that's what they are told. And those are the 120 people that experience what Pentecost can experience. So what happened to all the other people, the thousands of people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ or in Christ, but happened not to be baptized? There were possibly thousands of disciples that were not in that room. Because they were not in that room, they did not share in that experience. And I believe that these twelve disciples that were running in the Ephesus were among such people. They had received Jesus Christ. They had believed in him. And but see, before then, they had the baptism of John. But they were not in that room. And so, yes, believing, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said to them, "Will you immediately baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ?" They couldn't have it because they had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. They had never heard of it. There were people that believed in what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. They tried to live as he taught, like many people today who indeed have expressed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but are seeking to live the Christian life in their own strength by working hard. And look back at the time I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for those that God used, but for those that he used. But there was something about the way the gospel was brought to us in those days. We are given the impression that it was basically a case of, you know, having a little more with the set of rules, the do's and don'ts, and who are supposed to struggle. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody told me that I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to live on earth. I wasn't taught. One of the unfortunate things today is that people are being called upon to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the right, which is right, but they are never told about the Holy Spirit. They are never told the fact that we cannot be in the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. If you remember, in Acts 2, when Peter delivered that powerful message on the day of Pentecost, when they asked him, "What shall we do?" he said to them, and he asked him again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." He didn't separate them. He didn't just talk about the need for the people. He told them to repent. Let's look at this. Acts 2:38. It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Many of us think that the gospel is only the first part. The gospel isn't just the first part. It has to be included from the fact that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There were other records in the Acts of Paul's people who received Jesus Christ, but had what seemed to be a second kind of experience, which has been expressed as being filled with the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. This was an episode that followed The persecution after him was killed, remember? The disciples were scattered all over, and they all, many of them left Jerusalem. And we are told that they went everywhere preaching. Philip was one of them, and he went to Samaria. He preached, and we are told that men came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us discuss reading from verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have people who, we are told, had even been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip had preached to them. They had received the gospel. They had even been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are told the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. Verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when did anything really happen? We are not told exactly what happened, but whatever happened was visible to even the unbelievers. Because when you look at verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given as laid on all the apostles' hands, he offered them one and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. How did Simon see what he saw? The Bible says he saw that people were receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands of the apostles Peter and John. So what did he see with the Lord? But clearly there was something that told him that the Holy Spirit was being given. Now, I leave it to us. What that means? What is it? In Ephesians, that thing that we just read, we're told that they are the disciples for the tongues. So, we see this second example. I also want us to look at the home of Cornelius. Let's go to Acts 10, in Acts 10, and let's see what happens in the room of Cornelius. Let's remember that Peter has seen a vision, and he has been instructed to go with the messenger to Cornelius, to go and preach the gospel to these Roman army, Gentile army. Peter told them, from verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who got the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as they have. This is an interesting episode. This is the case of people just by hearing and believing the Holy Spirit came on them, even before they were baptized.
And you see that? It was after Peter saw that the Holy Spirit had come on these people, and he saw an evidence who was speaking in tongues. So he said, so the Holy Spirit has come upon these people. And was holding them after that, he got them baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are all these things telling us? These things are telling us that the coming of the Holy Spirit from the believer should be presented as an integral part of the salvation process. Because the believer cannot live the Christian life just to find something. The believer needs the empowerment by the Holy Spirit. So, what about those who have never experienced the empowerment by the Holy Spirit? Let's get clear. The Bible says that whenever someone comes to the Lord and gives his or her life to Jesus Christ, God deposits the Holy Spirit in that person. And then I say, everyone that has received Christ as his or her Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit in them. We see in Romans 8:9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, in the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not know Christ. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, he talks of the seal of ownership on us. That God has put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 32. That God has, through when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, God deposits his Spirit in us. And he says that he stands for ownership, so that we belong to him. And in the same 2 Corinthians 5 verse 5, so now it is God who has made us for his very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It is this seed of the Holy Spirit that God puts in the believer that sensitizes the believer to right and wrong. That is why when somebody gives this of a life to Jesus Christ, somehow he becomes conscious of sin, what is right, what is wrong. When he does wrong, he hardly needs someone. When most of the time, he already feels guilty about it. It's because of the Spirit that we have received, telling us that we have done wrong. Now, Sherry, this book is before. When I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a 15-year-old boy. And before then I used to steal Bible books. And shortly after I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I went to spend my holidays with my uncle at Kaiser. That was only 19 that was with me. I didn't have any Christian around me as far as I knew. But I began to feel guilty about certain things in my life. And I had this heavy burden about the books I had been studying. It wasn't as if someone caught me. No. No one caught me. No one said, look, that's the cause of all these books. But the Spirit of God that I had received as a result of my faith and faith made me uncomfortable. And my brother and sister, if you are too comfortable in the stage,
I can assure you it means you don't have the strength of God already in you. Because that's actually one of the very first evidence that you have received Christ into your life. Number one, in Galatians 5, we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we come to know Christ, how do you know that the Spirit is working inside of us? Well, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm reading from Galatians 5:22-23, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We have the evidences that we have indeed come to know Christ. However, let's remember that the fact that we show these qualities does not mean that that is all that God wants to do in our lives. God wants to empower us to do exploits in His name. So, what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense that we have great faith? Well, let's look at Paul's ministry. In the chapter we read, I have now written our text, which is Acts 19. Let's go right to it, Acts 19. We are told in verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. I believe consistently about the end of God. So, what are the outcomes of the empowerment by the Holy Spirit? Is that we begin to speak God's word with an unusual boldness. It's an unusual boldness. You wonder where that boldness came from. As a result of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is unfortunate that a lot of people think that once you speak in tongues, that is all. That is all. You are empowered to speak the gospel boldly. Let's also look at what could happen from verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles to Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had such things were given to the sick, and their illnesses were healed, and the people's spirits left them. Those empowered by the Holy Spirit are ready to be used by God for extraordinary miracles. The problem of the reason God doesn't use many of us to do extraordinary miracles is that we are busy arguing whether we even need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. When you are busy arguing, let me just not happen. You know, well, there are people who are very skeptical of what do you call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. These extraordinary miracles we know by the talks of faith. Paul wrote extensively to the Corinthians on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, for another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, for another faith by the same Spirit, for another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues.
About misconceptions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
There are people who think he is one of this. And I want to encourage you. Who's wrong to believe in the Bible? Whether you have experienced it.
Yes, my winter.
One big problem we have is to think that our experience defining this the Bible is a great mistake. If the Bible says something, take it, it is true. Take it that it is true. It has to be true. Because the scriptures cannot be broken. Now, if that thing has not reflected in your own personal experience, it is telling you that the matter was wrong. Let's stop thinking that if our experience has not aligned with the Bible, then the Bible is not true. Which is what a lot of us try to do. Oh, well. But that is not true in my life. So what? If it's not true in your life, does that mean that the Bible is not true? It just tells you that there's a gap in your life. So it is not financial to talk about the bathroom of the experience. It is scriptural. The second misconception is, and this is, and I've had a lot of these people in BFC, is to think that someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues that is an indication of their spiritual life, how holy they are. And I've heard people say, oh, that one is saying this, speaking in tongues, but I see that he's doing all these radical things. We see all sorts of things wrong with the lives of people who claim to be speaking in tongues. So, does it mean, is it really true that being empowered by the Holy Spirit means, does it mean that everything is right in your life? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'd like to remind you also of the Corinthian church. Paul was not yet the physical spirit of the Corinthians. And Paul extensively developed the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul extensively about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wrote about speaking in tongues. So the Corinthian church was not short of tongue-talking Christians. Believe me, they were not short of tongue-talking Christians. Paul acknowledged that the gift of the Holy Spirit were manifested abundantly in that church. He acknowledged. And he had to recommend on the need for discipline in exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wrote extensively about the issue of tongues. People who were disruptive in the use of speaking in tongues in the church. And I'm sure today we even have a lot of such people. There are people who are searching for the voices of tongues, and you know the world. And there were people like that in the early church, in the Corinthian church. There were people like that. And now I found out about it very extensively. Interesting thing was that this was the same church that Paul had to rebuke because they tolerated adultery and pride. It was in that same Corinthian church the speech of a man sleeping with his father's wife. And the church tolerated it. And Paul had to write to them very, very strongly, rebuking them as a church. What I'm saying is that we should stop thinking. I mean, if you think you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should never think that it means that all you now do is right before God. You have the responsibility to manifest the fruit of the Spirit as listening in Galatians. And we should also stop thinking that because someone has gained in his or her life, that means that he cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Every one of us is working in progress. Let's bear that in mind. Every one of us, whether you are hot talking, baptizing the Holy Spirit or not, we are all working in progress. And from time to time we do fail God. And when we fail Him, other people observe it. The fact that other people observe our failures does not invalidate our experience or our relationship with God. Because Satan, we are working in progress. I'd like to take this mirror. So, what is God saying to us? I know what He's saying.
I see I have time now.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Paul has been working about the way to the church. And he says in verse 39, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and not forbid speaking in tongues. In the New King James, he says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and be more of these speaking in tongues. Let all things be done to
you.
I want to say that there is a need for us. This is my Lord's Sabbath. There is a need for us to present the Holy Spirit as an integral component of the gospel that we preach. It is very important. And I'd like to hear more of that when people preach the gospel. I also want to encourage us as a church to be more open to manifestations of the Holy Spirit. To have this feeling that we stand for the Spirit. I know that we come from different backgrounds. We have Anglicans, there are people from the Catholic background, my meaning. People come from there, we have Methodists, we have Jews, and so on. But let us hold God's word to be true. And in God, the Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit and His manifestations for the edification of the church. But if the church stifles the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, then the church is missing out on something very key that God has given. And I have seen that the few times we gave room for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to work in our lives as a church, God has honored His work. I still remember very clearly about 7 or 8 years ago. I was sharing with one of our elders, my uncle here, Uncle Remy, of my concern that we don't practice what the Bible says about the state in our midst. The Bible says, if anyone says, let them call for elders in the church, let them anoint him to the Lord. And pray for him in the name of the Lord. And that the Lord will heal him and if he has committed a sin for him. Why do we read this? I was different in him and Peter's kingdom. Why do we read this? It doesn't seem to happen to you. And I think the following week, after service, there was the sister, right behind there, crying profusely. And it turned out that she had been diagnosed with cancer. And Uncle Remy called me and a few others who believe in manifestations of the Jesus Spirit.
And he brought a small brother boy. And a few of us, just like you might if you remember, but the hotel was there that day. Just that moment, Uncle Remy anointed that sister with oil and would pray for her. And she was set to have been at an advanced state of cancer at that point in time. And we prayed for her because we were the Baptist. And I believe that the Lord healed that sister. 7 years later, Uncle Remy, do you remember? Several years later, what you see now, once in a while she shows up here. We're talking about 1 or 2 years ago. What I'm saying is that a few times we have given God room to manifest His power in our midst. He has honored His words. And I want to encourage us to give Him more room to do that. Let us not stifle the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It is true that there will be people who are using it. The fact that there are counterfeit coins doesn't mean that all coins are counterfeit. There are counterfeit dollar notes. It doesn't mean that all dollar notes are counterfeit. The whole God's word to be true, regardless whether it has come true in our lives or not. God's word stands true. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. Breathing. Open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Not just as the deposit that may belong to you, but to empower us to do exploits in you. Lord, that your Spirit may come upon us in a way that will speak more boldly in the name of Jesus. You preach the world with boldness. In the way that we do exploits in your name, that we glorify your name through miracles, gifts manifested in our lives. Lord, that our lives will glorify you. That we may hear your voice, recognize your voice more clearly when you speak to us. We may know without any out of doubt it is you speaking to us. Yes, Lord, when you spoke of Philip, you told him to go join himself with that chariot, he knew it was you speaking to him. When you told Paul and his companions not to go in a certain way, in a certain direction, but to go in another direction, they had no doubt in their minds. You speak. Lord, we will be two of us. Lord, we will recognize your voice. And when will you, Lord, give us the grace to honor your word? Thank you, Father. We appreciate you. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.